God is love. I don't believe that we know the fullness of love in this world. But when we get a taste, when it is revealed to the spirit within, the love of God, it will enable us to live in this world and be completely fulfilled in the world to come. God is and has always been, and God is interested in 2014 as much as God was interested in day one or any other time of his world. The important thing to sustain us in 2014 is never to lose the ear to hear the voice of God. I am God. I am the great I am, the beginning and the end of all things, the beginning of every portion of history, events that have taken place since day one. God is God. And it behooves those that live in that generation to be able to hear the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God is our only salvation. If our ears are dull, which is described in the scriptures, then we can't hear. If we have hardened our heart to any aspect of humility, we won't be able to hear God when he speaks to us about our individual personal elevation. History will bear out the truth. There have been many who have started humble and become lifted up in themselves, even in a righteous environment. It's in man, as we've heard in this meeting, to look out for number one, to look out for me. Bless the Lord. I appreciate the messages that have gone forth in this camp meeting. My verse tonight can be found in Isaiah, the 15th verse of the 57th chapter. For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. What is eternity? Has no beginning, has no end. He that lives there, he that abides there, the great I am, that's his dominion, eternity. That habeth eternity, whose name is holy. People have a lot of definitions that they attach to holy. And the definition that is inspired in the Word of God is God himself is holy. Be ye holy, therefore, as he is holy. Now, as the song was sung, I can't do this on my own. I'm a total unclean, unworthy. I don't have the credentials. I don't have the ability. I don't care if I'm the president of Harvard University. I don't care how good this mind works or what my heritage is. I am an unfit vessel for holiness. Holy is of God. Holiness comes from God. And who does it come to be with? I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, to believe and to know and to understand that Jehovah God will condescend and live with man. With him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, for this reason and for this purpose, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. As we humble ourselves in a contrite spirit, it means that we have taken our will, our way, our thoughts, our humanity, our interpretations, our ideas, our thinking, and have nailed them to the cross that we might have the mind of the one who died on the cross, and he might bring us his thoughts, his judgments, his ideas, because they are pure and I am impure. Except for the blood that he shed, I have no hope. But because of the hope of the blood of Jesus Christ, I have this ability. I make no apology this evening for my frailty, and I am frail, but I am full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. And it is not of my doings. I can't be righteous enough. I can't do good works enough. But it is because God, in his sovereign promise of love, said if I would humble myself unto him, that he would come and he would take up his abode in me. Immediately the flesh puts up a wall and says, never going to happen. You're never going to be that good. Well, I'm not that good, but I am able to accomplish this scripture by being humble before God. Humility. Our forefathers in this little place preached and practiced humility. Don't ever leave it. Let us go back to our fathers' praying ground. The preacher could hardly speak, but the Holy Spirit was there and moved upon the people. I had a relative of mine, Brother John Wilson, that when he talked to you, you couldn't hardly understand him. But when he preached, his messages went out so smooth, and God blessed it. And that was in a natural voice, a natural way. There's been many other ministers in our Reformation who have given the gospel message with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the high and lofty God of heaven, and he came down and met the needs of the people. Lord, help us to never take any of that credit, to never elevate ourselves, but to understand that it is God, Jehovah, who has humbled himself to dwell amongst us. It is God that owns. It is God that belongs. It is God that is everything that we know. Let us be sure that in this day and time, when men have such great minds, they have such great resources, they have such knowledge, that we don't be lifted up against the old time gospel. That is, we must be rid of self. We must be rid of my mind, my ability. That's my burden. Pray for me. In the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, see, I can't even say it very good. Beginning at verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. And as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord and ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. He is the work in perfection, perfect. For all of his ways are judgment, a God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is he. I will make known my doctrine, the doctrine of God. This is what God says. As we live, as we travel, it's imperative that we be in touch with the voice of God, that he can help us to understand his doctrine. He can help us understand his way. We can understand when Jesus said, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, that was the doctrine of God. In humility, we turn the other cheek. In humility, we go the extra mile. Now let us turn to 1 Corinthians. First chapter. Beginning at the 17th verse. Says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. If we have a lack of power in our personal life, take a selfie. Look at yourself. Are you nailing it all to the cross? It cannot fail. We have a history of saints in this very place who would crucify their own wants and their own wishes, and the power of God was their reward. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. This is God. This isn't something that people have got together and decided this would be a nice program for everybody to ascribe to. This is Jehovah God. And a broken and a contrite heart in humility is the only place he dwells and shares with men. Wisdom cannot attain it. ability can't understand it, the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that in wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. The Jews required a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called. I've been called out. I heard that calling because God Jehovah spoke to my heart. Because I heard the voice of God. But those which are called, both Jews and Greeks, don't matter who we are, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, nor many mighty, nor many noble are called. Why aren't they called? Because they can't hear the calling. They're so caught up in themselves, in their own ability, in their own wisdom, in their own self-thinking, that they can't hear the still small voice of the Lord. That voice that talks so sweetly and calls so sweetly, Jehovah God himself speaking to a man on earth. Not many, not mighty, not many noble are called, because God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The Bible teaches us that God said, I will not share my glory. If any man lifts him up to receive my glory, he's got trouble on the horizon. My God, your God, is a jealous God. And he rightfully has the right to be jealous, because we are just flesh, and it is only as his spirit has mercy upon you. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. In the day that we feel like we're above and beyond needing the mercy of God is the day that we are going to have big trouble. And the presence and the voice of God, we will hear no more. Now, when people get lifted up and they can't hear the voice of the Lord, then they go their own way. They build their own cistern. They make their own path. But it is in those places that the voice of the Lord no longer speaks. I would encourage us tonight to be very careful in the age we live in, that we don't become lifted up. Our next passage of scripture is found in the 32nd Psalm. It is a passage of comfort. When I consider my disadvantage, when I consider who I am, the psalmist wrote in 32, beginning at verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found, surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh thee. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me in trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. A song of deliverance. We know what a song of deliverance is. We sing them here every night. We sing them at home. We sing them in the car alone. A song of deliverance registers with my spirit in my heart. It's not just a melody. It's not just the music. But it is a true song from Jehovah God. A hiding place. Preserve me from trouble. Compass me about. Deliver me from the adversary. Now here's the best part. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou should go. I will guide you with mine eyes. Praise the Lord. I would not want to be left to my own eyes. I would not want to have to depend on what I see to make heaven. I would not be able to judge. I would not be able to understand. I would not be able to not get discouraged. You know why the saint of God doesn't get discouraged in perplexing times? Because the eye that is guiding them inspires their heart and their spirit and their soul with a song. Many a pilgrim has been in a hard place, and the song of the Lord comes to their rescue because we have confidence and faith that I would not be in this place if God did not permit it. His eye is guiding me. Wherever I go, whatever I do, whatever everyone else is doing, I have this confidence that Jehovah God, the creator of all things, the beginning and the end of all things, his eye beholds everything naked and open just as it is. People deceive me. I can look at somebody and they can look me right in the eye and tell me something that isn't true at all. Or they might help me to think the way they're thinking, or all those ways that our eyes can deceive us. we're pretty good sometimes maybe at reading the face of our companion, and we've been with him long enough. But even the closest relationship we have in this world, we don't know the intent of the heart. We don't know exactly what's behind that look. But all things are known to God. And if I will keep myself humble before him, he will guide me with those eyes by what he sees. Now, I don't know what all God sees at all times, but I know this, that he's given me this promise. I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. Now, there isn't anyone in this world who can hinder us from breaking up the fallow ground in our heart and humbling ourselves before God if we'll do it. There isn't a body, people, friends, parents. It doesn't matter who it is. God has reserved this place in the heart for himself and for his presence and for his spirit. And when we will humble ourselves, then he will come and he will guide us. In the 29th Psalm, David said, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majestic. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip as a calf. Lebanon and Sion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of the fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness, speaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forest. And his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth for king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. And the Lord will bless his people with peace. The voice of the Lord. The voice of God. I would that we all heard the voice of the Lord. The Lord divideth the flame of the fire. The fires that bring about the perfection in our life. The fires that perfect our walk with God. The things that he needs to burn out of our life. The voice of the Lord. It doesn't just happen. It isn't because of what somebody else does or says. No, it is the voice of the Lord. I remember as a child hearing our forefathers preach and teach about the voice of the Lord in their behalf, and how that man could not circumvent or overcome what God has spoken. I particularly remember a message of dear old brother Isaac Chandler, who undoubtedly heard the voice of the Lord and who God often spoke through. So I have no doubt of what I heard as a child that it was true. And I have experienced for myself down through the years, as we've heard already in this meeting, the voice of the Lord goeth forth. Brother Chandler, I don't remember the circumstances, but there were several men. I think it had to do over a relationship with his wife. But these men gathered around him one night on his way home and were going to beat the tar out of him. And the voice of the Lord spoke to Brother Isaac. And through his lips, he pointed each man out and he said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." And as that voice spoke, those men turned tail and went the other way. The voice of God. Now, if we would try to conjure up some other name or some other source, it would not come to be. But if it is the voice of the Lord, we can stake our life on it. We can trust Him regardless of what it is. Because we have this promise. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you in every trial and every peril. And I will strengthen you. The Lord will give strength unto His people. And the Lord will bless His people with peace." I will never forget as a child. Brother Willie Murphy, his favorite song was "Peace, Peace, Peace." And he would sing that song and the presence of God would come down and bless our souls with peace. The voice of the Lord. Lord, help us that we ever keep the voice of the Lord in our assembly. Not our own thoughts, not being lifted up in our humanity, but as our forefathers spent the night praying for the day that was yet to come to feed the sheep, and not gathered together around making some kind of connection, but praying it down from heaven. Old-fashioned prayer is at an all-time low today, I fear. Pray without ceasing. If you have a burden, if you have a need, God has promised us if we will humble ourselves and come into His presence that He will hear and answer our prayer. And it's not just one person. It's not just for somebody's heritage or somebody's abilities, but it is for every child of God that will humble themselves before Him to hear the voice of the Lord. to hear the voice that divideth all things. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us understanding. The voice of God. In the 58th chapter of Isaiah, I want to remind us tonight of the fast of God. People addressed in this chapter, in the first part, did everything right. Ye seek me daily. Ye delight to know my name, my ways. As a nation that did righteousness. So on and so forth. Wherefore have ye fasted, say they, and thou seest not. Ye afflicted your soul, and thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, to smite with a fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that you bring the poor that are cast out to your house? When thou seest the naked, that thou covereth him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Is it not to deal yourself, deal your heart, deal your spirit, deal your means out to those that are in need, the various different kinds of need vary, physically, mentally, spiritually, temporally? The fast of God is that it is my concern and that I am interested in their problems. I am interested in feeding them. I'm interested in bringing them to the house of the Lord. I'm interested in doing for them like I want to do for myself. The same message that Jesus preached and taught us. It's way back here in Isaiah. Is it not to deal yourself out for others? As we obey the doctrine of God, delivered to us by Jesus Christ, prescribed in his word, then we have this confidence. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall speed forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of God shall be thy reward. What is the glory of God? It inhabiteth eternity. We experience the glory of the Lord when he sends a gentle rain or a blessing down in our services or in our car, our work, our closet. Whenever we meet the Lord, we experience his glory. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. I can't think of a better reward to work towards than to feel and know and hear and see the glory of God. To behold him as he is. Not as some thing or imagination in our mind, but as he's revealed deep down in your heart, as he's revealed deep down in your spirit, in the fullness of Jehovah God. This is the promise that God has made for those who will be broken and contrite before his throne. If we lift ourselves up in any way, we're going to miss this. This is reserved. This is a place that God has placed. This is a commandment that God has given. This is the doctrine of God himself. I didn't make it up. I don't bring it to you from a group of anybody. I bring it to you for the Holy Spirit. For the word of God is that if you're going to talk to God and you're going to hear God, you're going to have to be humbled at the bottom of the cross. Crucify self and lay him aside. Oh, there's so many different ways that people become lifted up. God help us tonight that we find the solid rock, that we find the place that they're talking about in the scriptures tonight, to have a connection, to hear the voice of Jehovah God. Oh, then shall thy light break forth, then shalt thou call the Lord, and he shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he will say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking of vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. I'm thankful tonight for God, who is able to dispel my personal darkness. I don't like darkness. I guess I'm a little bit of a scaredy cat, but spiritually speaking, it's even worse. The Lord shall what? Guide thee continually. If you will keep this fast that Jesus Christ prescribed, if you will love as he loved, if you will forsake as he taught us to forsake, if we will lay up treasures in heaven, if we will obey the law of God, and he will guide us continually, and he'll satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and call, thou shalt be called the repair of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. If you turn thy foot away from the Sabbath, from doing thine own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places, of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob and thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The fast of the Lord. All men can come up with a lot of ideas, maybe even in good intentions, but there is a fast. There is a fast that God will honor and respect. And we're only able to keep that fast as we remain broken, as we remain contrite before God. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, verses 9 and 10. It said, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." All the depths of the communication of the voice of God. It is a personal communication that every individual that will meet his commandments and will humble themselves before him, it is a place that the Spirit of the Lord will reveal to our spirit, and he will open our eyes. He will open our ears. You remember when the temple was dedicated and God promised that his eyes and his ears would be there perpetually? And then as we heard in this camp meeting, our bodies, Jesus came and now we are the temple of the Lord God Jehovah. Jesus said that he and the Father would come and they would dwell in us. It is then that we have this privilege of entering into our personal closet and shutting the door and talking to God Jehovah in heaven in a voice that he hears us and we hear him. Oh, sometimes might have to tarry a little while in humility until your spirit is in tune with the Spirit of God. But when our spirits become two together, all the blessing is beyond anything that this world has to offer. It is beyond anything that we could conjure up in our own imagination, our own ideas. When Jehovah God pours out his Spirit upon us in communication, to communicate with God and to hear his voice and to have confidence that he hears our voice, all the prayer requests, the prayers that have been answered down through the ages, even in the short time I've been here, I've known instant after incident that God heard and answered prayer, that he sent the blessing down from heaven for those who were broken and contrite before him, for those that would humble themselves and enter into their closet and pray to God Jehovah and not worry about all the other distractions and things that might be going on, but take that time to be holy, the holiness of God be fulfilled in their life. I'm telling you tonight, sometimes the ministry has a hard job with people hanging on to things that they should get rid of, and you'll hear it preached. But I'm going to tell you, brother and sister, when your ears get open to God Jehovah, when you begin to hear the voice of God, you don't want anything in your life that's displeasing to him. You don't want anything that would hinder a precious soul from not finding God. It is God Jehovah that is in charge of the church of God, and he's living and he's well tonight. He has not gone by. He has not died. Satan has not prevailed, for she shall shine until the end of time when Jesus comes to receive her again. We have this promise, and that's the promise I want to leave with you. God, God himself dwells with a broken and a contrite spirit. We can never change the doctrine of God. It's forever settled. The doctrine of God is But we must humble ourselves and hear His voice. If there's anyone here tonight who feels a lack in hearing the voice of God. Many different circumstances. We're all individuals. We all have individual lives. But the promises to every situation and the promises to every life. We don't have to go through our trials and tribulations with a question, guessing who's right, who's wrong. So this has been said, that's been said. I've experienced this, I've experienced that. There is a blessed experience for the humble where God talks to your heart. And it never fails. I boldly declare unto you tonight that if you're lacking in hearing the voice of God, just humble yourself unto Him. It doesn't mean you have to come to an altar of prayer. You can if you want to. Our altars are always open. But in your heart, that's what God is interested in. Humble your heart unto the Lord. Lord, I can't make it. I don't know the way without you teaching me, without you showing me. I've heard this and I've heard that. But God, would you give me the truth for me from you? We have that privilege. We have that honor. God gave it to us. And it is up to us whether we fulfill the qualifications of hearing the voice of the Lord. And there's only one way to hear it, and that's in a broken and a contrite spirit. Pray for me.